Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll take you through the main news of the day. Coming up before 5.30, it's the age-old question. Are the island's government departments overspending or are they underfunded? Well, the chair of the Public Accounts Committee has some thoughts. Also tonight, staying with finance, the island's inflation rate's gone up again. We'll take a look at the figures. There's some good news for those behind a new community facility on Marine Parade in Peel and a scheme which helps talented athletes balance their studies with sporting activities is going to be extended. We'll also keep an eye on the traffic and the travel and the weather as well. There is another yellow weather warning in place for heavy rain. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. You can text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start by joining Siobhan for the main news headlines. Fastamai.
Fastamai. It's been revealed a Tynwald review into the handling of the Dr. Roslyn Ranson case cost more than £327,000. The Select Committee has revealed the final cost of the review in its latest report, which will be brought to next month's Tynwald sitting. Peel AFC has confirmed it's postponing its fixtures this weekend following the death of Kian Broadhead. The 25-year-old, who was a member of Peel's combination team, died following a road traffic collision on Sunday. Ronald Wayne Met Office has issued a yellow weather warning for heavy rain. Forecasters say we can expect persistent and quite heavy rain tonight, clearing tomorrow morning. That warning is in place from midnight until 10 a.m. tomorrow. A stable in the south of the island has had to close while it deals with a case of strangles. Bella Whetstone near Ballabeg says it's taken immediate and decisive action to ensure the safety of its horses and prevent any further spread. And after picking up a vital win last weekend, FC Isle of Man faced what could be an important early season clash away at AFC Liverpool in the NWCFL Premier Division tonight. The Ravens and their Merseyside hosts both currently sit inside the league's bottom three. Further afield, Hollywood icon Robert Redford has died aged 89. The actor and director is being remembered across the industry as a genius, winning Oscars for Ordinary People in 1980 and going on to create the Sundance Film Festival. A UN-appointed panel of independent experts has publicly accused Israel for the first time of committing a genocide in Gaza. The Israelis categorically reject the findings, claiming it relies entirely on Hamas falsehoods. Chris Sidotti's from the UN Commission of Inquiry, who conducted the report.
Any criticism is met with the same kind of sloganeering, lazy response, rather than engaging with the evidence.
Donald Trump is on his way to the UK for a historic second state visit. And Amber Anning is through to the women's 400 metres finals at the World Athletics Championship. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And Siobhan just mentioned that yellow weather warning. It is for heavy rain. Comes into force from midnight and will be in place until 10 a.m. Totals generally around 10 to 20 millimetres, could be 30 on some hills. So there could be the risk of a little localised flooding for a time. The general forecast, dry with sunny intervals at first, but that cloud will gradually build throughout the evening and rain will come from the southwest overnight. Minimum overnight temperatures 12 and a wet and windy start to the day tomorrow, but that rain is going to clear quite quickly as a strong southeast wind veers southwest. It will ease as well. And the rest of the day will be dry with sunny intervals and top temperatures of 18. Sunset this evening 7:33, sunrise tomorrow morning 6:54.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Are you a landlord looking for an easier life with a guaranteed return? Landlord Lifeline specialise in helping owners like you. For a free, no obligation meeting, call 616 600 or visit landlordlifeline.im.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company. Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank. whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
It's coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update. So, OK, are government departments overspending or are they just underfunded? It's a question that's resurfaced this week because Treasury revealed 4 departments are already projecting deficits just one quarter into the financial year. Speaker of the House of Keys, Jim Watterson, says tough conversations are needed to bring the books back into balance. In his capacity as chair of the Public Accounts Committee, he's been talking to Amy.
4 of the departments might be expecting to overspend, but actually 8 out of the 12 bodies that are in the report are actually reporting overspending on supplies and services budgets. So that's where a lot of the money is going. And that's a massive cause for concern at this stage in the year. And bear in mind that these are only one quarter in.
Some of the reasons that have been given for some of the departments overspend are things that were described by Treasury themselves as expected. So why do you think we're in this position if we knew that these were coming anyway?
Well, this does sort of go back to the old debate about whether some things are overspending or whether they're underfunded. We're just not making the difficult decisions and saying we're going to stop funding something, or we're just going to have these systems around some overspends. I think that's a question that really does go to the heart of some of what's going on at Manx Care, Department of Health and Social Care. What are we here to provide? And having that difficult conversation, because that's what's going to then decide how much money is needed and then where that money is going to come from.
Why aren't we having those difficult conversations, do you think?
Well, from a member's perspective, it's really difficult when you don't have the data in order to be able to discuss some of these things. So what we don't have, what no one has outside of the organisation, are any sort of figures of spending at divisional level. How much is going on social care? How much is going on Nobles Hospital? But it's hard to make suggestions as to how you might save money without that level of granular detail. What's particularly frustrating about all this is that this issue goes right back to the Public Accounts Committee's first look at Nobles Hospital back in 2018. We then did another report in 2019 that said nothing much has changed. And here we are in 2025, going to be looking at it again. And the figures, certainly for this year, show that we're still on a very slippery slope. And Treasury has basically put its hands up and said 10 million of its contingency budget has already been allocated to Manx Care for this year. So that must be already looking down the barrel of a £10 million overspend. And we're only a quarter into the year.
That's Chair of the Public Accounts Committee, June Watterson, MHK, talking to Amy. Well, the Isle of Man Treasury has given us a response to this. It says Treasury welcomes engagement with the public and Timwood members and will continue to refine and improve the detailed management accounts to ensure transparency and promote scrutiny. Particular focus, they say, is being placed on improving efficiency around how the accounts are produced for departments in order to support the ongoing enhanced financial monitoring process. These enhanced financial monitoring sessions, or scrutiny panels, are continuing, and work is also underway on the priority-based budgeting project, which will help improve the budgeting process for the 27-28 budget. It goes on to say both employee costs and other costs are presented on a gross basis and include expenditure that relate to specific approved internal fund bids rather than spending in excess of budgeted amounts. Treasury is working to improve their future presentation in the interest of transparency. And it concludes by saying government reserves continue to perform well with the investment strategy transition now complete. Maximising the income from investments is a key consideration, and Treasury has chosen to reinvest reserve fund interest to help strengthen financial resilience and secure a stronger reserve position. And you can find all of that at manxradio.com. Now it's 8:30 past 5, and it's been revealed today a Timwood review into the handling of the Dr. Rosalind Ranson case cost more than £327,000. Siobhan is with me now. Siobhan, just remind us what exactly this review was looking into.
Well, it's all around probably the most controversial employment tribunal the island's seen in recent years. You might remember back in May 2023 when a record-breaking £3.2 million payout was awarded to Dr. Rosalind Ranson. She was the island's medical director and was a prominent figure during the COVID-19 pandemic. She took the Department of Health and Social Care to an employment and equality tribunal in January 2022, claiming she was unfairly dismissed, a claim which was eventually upheld in May 2022. However, that wasn't the end of it, as High Court appeals were lodged and remedy hearings were carried out in January and March the following year. In May 2023, after that payout was awarded, a public apology was issued by the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon. He said the judgment made uncomfortable reading, adding that the actions of those involved did not reflect well on the professionalism of the civil service.
It is entirely appropriate for me to go further and express not only my deep regret that Dr. Ranson was subjected to such unprofessional and damaging behaviours whilst in post as the medical director, but also to offer my deepest apologies for the harm she has experienced and which the tribunal has recognised in their liability judgment and has now reflected in the compensation award made in the quantum judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, government also referred itself to independent investigator Richard Wright KC to conduct a probe on its management of the case, which again, in the Chief Minister's word, had made for uncomfortable reading. A select committee was also formed of three Tynwald members, and this week they've revealed the final cost of that review. Its latest report states £327,708 were spent on it. It says it had believed further costs would be incurred after a final invoice was received in February last year, but that no longer seems to be the case, so that's the final figure as it stands. That final report will be brought to next month's sitting of Tynwald.
Siobhan, thank you very much.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, the island's inflation rate rose again in August. The Consumer Prices Index shows it stood at 3.3%. That's up from 2.8% the month before. Well, Christian has been looking at the figures and joins us now. Well, Fastamai, Christian, just tell us first, what is driving this increase?
Yeah, Fastamai, Beth. Well, the sharpest rises came in services, particularly restaurants and hotels, which were up by more than 8%. Catering costs alone jumped by 8.5%. Alcohol and tobacco also climbed, with alcohol up 7.5%, and food and drink rose by nearly 5% overall.
So it's fair to say people are seeing these increases right across the board then?
Well, not entirely. Some things are cheaper than a year ago. Oil and other fuels, that fell by nearly 13%. Gas was down 8%, petrol just by over 7%. And travel costs were mixed. Sea travel and other fares dropped, but airfares actually shot up by almost 15% over the past 12 months.
What about housing cost?
Well, as you might imagine, those went up as well. Overall housing costs rose by 1.7%, with average rents up by more than 8%. And while the Retail Prices Index, which is a different measure, also rose by 3.3% over the year, both indices actually fell slightly when compared to July.
So overall then, hospitality and services pushing inflation up, but cheaper energy is helping to offset some of that pressure.
Yeah, in essence, that is it. Statistics Isle of Man says services remain the main driver, while energy-related goods are giving households some element of relief.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. 5:12, and Isle of Man Energy has admitted it was wrong to cut its face-to-face service. The company closed its customer counter in November 2023, saying it was adapting to changing needs, but it has now reversed that decision after feedback, and that counter reopened today. Managing Director Aidan Baglow.
At the time it was closed, the service was probably underutilised a bit, and the team members that we had working there were allocated elsewhere. But, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, it was a wonderful thing. You know, it probably wasn't the correct decision. So, And again, we've listened to what our customers have said, and we're delighted to be able to bring this service back to our customers again. I mean, we've been working hard to improve our online services. Currently, we have over 60% of our customers choose to manage their accounts that way. It's really important for us to make sure that everybody feels supported in this, particularly those who may not have access to a computer or not particularly confident on the computer, or they're unable to use our telephone services, or maybe have a communication difficulty.
So what can people expect from this service as well?
Well, the main thing is we've got staff available all day from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock. You know, we can deal with any of their queries, particularly now we're approaching the autumn winter heating season, which can be a worry with the current cost of living crisis. So, you know, if any of our customers are struggling to pay a bill, you know, we urge you to get in touch. You know, we can help by providing, you know, a number of ways to pay through flexible payment plans. We also offer a free home comfort service where one of our trained energy advisors can come and visit you at home. There's no charge at all for the service, and they'll offer some advice on how to use less energy and keep the cost of heating your home down. But also we offer things like a free priority customer register, and this is there to support any of our customers who may have a vulnerability.
One of the points you just made there was, you know, the fact that winter's coming up. Is this one of the reasons why you've come to this decision now?
It's the right time to do it now. I mean, it was obviously we've been listening to customer feedback, but we're a seasonal business. You know, when the weather gets cold, people need our services more like any other energy provider.
That is Managing Director of Isle of Man Energy, Aidan Baglow, talking to Darren Timpson.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So all okay on the police pages. If you do spot anything and are able to let us know, that would be great. Otherwise, it's the main things that we've been talking about this week. The Mountain Road, of course, closed until Monday the 20th of October, but businesses on the mountain open as usual, so it's shut from Brandywell to the Cregner Bar. There are some traffic lights in Union Mills and on the Newcastle Town Road between Saddle Road and the Quarter Bridge in Douglas. That's for estate entrance works. Also on Lord Street, that's between the Brown Bobby and Athol Street, that's for service connection work, and that short stretch of Glenfaber Road is still closed near the new sewage treatment plant. All okay down at the airport. The steam packet, the Manxman, left Heysham at just before 3:30, due in at 7:15, and the Mananan is on its way to Liverpool.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15. Peel Commissioner's plans for a new community facility on Marine Parade have been approved by the Planning Committee. The local authority wants to build a cafe, two function rooms and new public toilets on the tennis courts at the northern end of the promenade. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has the details.
Peel Commissioner's has previously said the area was underused and the sports courts could be located elsewhere. Rob Callister, chair of the Planning Committee, said from public consultation the site had the backing of the residents of Peel. The entrance to the site would have a ramp for wheelchair access as well as stairs, and plants which are salt tolerant will be included in the design. For the proposed cafe, there would be room for 56 customers inside and 44 outside, with a canopy to cover some of the seats and a glass balustrade in order to maintain the views of the castle. Plans also show a set of new public toilets which would have indoor and outdoor access. Two function rooms would also be developed, a large one which will have room for up to 150 chairs, and a small one which could hold 50 chairs, which will also serve as a new clubhouse for the Bowls Club. Committee member Peter Young told the meeting that he believed it was a cracking use of the site and the new facility would help improve the area of the promenade. It was agreed by the committee unanimously. The commissioners had previously received planning approval in principle for the development following an appeal.
Emma Draper reporting. Now, short-stay parking is going to return to Castletown Square at the end of this month. The area was pedestrianised over the summer, hosting films and sporting events on a big screen. And a consultation earlier this year asked the public what the future of Market Square should look like. Commissioner's Chair Tony Brown says convenient parking is vital for supporting local shops.
We started with the people who own the screen and provide it this summer. We asked them to put on children's films in the afternoons because, you know, children do come here with parents. The square closed off in the summer is fantastic. I mean, everybody, a vast majority of people support that, and it really makes an attractive place for people to come.
You get quite a few
come.
People watching these films, the kids,
absolutely, right? And not just the kids' films. I mean, there's sports events on. Yeah. They're all advertised by the people who do the films and stuff in conjunction with the commissioners, and the sports events, and they're all advertised so people can see what's going on, and then they can come to them if they want to.
Can I ask who's paying for this?
Well, the cost of the screen and everything is from the people who own it. There's no cost to the town on that. What Castletown does is pay for the connection to Sky TV so that we can broadcast, for example, live matches, the football and rugby.
So
and
it's so coming on. From the commissioners, this?
Part of it. It's a joint partnership.
But is there a local developer who's actually putting some in as well?
Well, the local developer provides the screen and provides the staff to make it all work and to set it up and so on. And what we've said is that, you know, you don't need to keep taking the screen away every time something's finished. You know, we work towards it being here permanently so that it can be used through the summer.
Now, the screen will not be here, but this arrangement is going on till the end of September?
Yeah, at the end of September, the square reopens to vehicles. The traffic order ceases to exist anymore, so the parking will come into here. It's not a through road, it's just a parking area. But it's an important parking area for getting people close to the shops. And it's short term.
That's Commissioner's Chair in Castletown, Tony Brown, talking to John. 5:19. It's been 2 years since the death of Lucas Martin, known to his friends and family as Lukey. He was just 21 when he died after contracting meningitis, and in his memory, his family set up Lukey's Aid, a charity supporting vulnerable young people. Lukey's dad, Brett, told Christy the work has led him to do things he'd never imagined.
Well, he's had me going up Kilimanjaro at the beginning of the year. Which I never thought in my wildest nightmares that I would do. But yeah, it was a fantastic trek, and we raised a lot of money. And after that finished, we thought, right, what's the next thing? And my second son, Bradley, he lives in Edinburgh, and he said, oh, the Loch Ness Marathon, we've got to do the Loch Ness Marathon, that's the next one. So he planted the seeds, and it seemed like a good idea X number of months ago after I just got back from Kilimanjaro. But now, with it just 3 weeks away, yeah, it's pretty daunting stuff, but we'll do it. It's myself, it's Connor and Bradley, Lucas's two brothers, and Neve, Bradley's new fiance. We're all doing it. I'm expecting to take up the rear by a substantial time.
You're training, though. You're putting in a lot of hours of training.
I am, but so are they, and they're 30-odd years younger than me, so...
Are you a competitive family?
Yes, undoubtedly. I mean, Lucas was the sort of... He was probably the one that was the most driven, competitive of us all.
And I mean, they're two incredibly different challenges, and to do both of them in the year, climbing a mountain and running around the loch, I mean, that's quite a lot to take on, but it's so worth it, isn't it? Because you are raising huge amounts of money for the charity.
We are, yeah. It gives us a purpose as well. I mean, I actually started running after we lost Lucas at the age of 64, because we were really looking for, or I was looking for something which didn't sort of bring back all the memories. And Lucas and I, I coached him football, I coached him rugby, we went cycling together, we went and watched rallies together, we did so many different sports, and it was very hard to find something that wasn't going to bring back the memories every time I did it. And my eldest son Connor said, oh, I'm going to start running, so come on, have a go. So I did, and that's kind of started it all, really. It was just that finding a little bit of peace and tranquility and running in the forest and all the rest of it that was the genesis of the marathon attempt.
That is Brett Martin talking to Christy. Now, football, and after picking up a vital win last weekend, FC Isle of Man face what could be an important early season clash away at AFC Liverpool in the NWCFL Premier Division tonight. The Ravens manager Paul Jones has also given an update on the player Adam Carouche, who suffered a double leg fracture during the team's 3-2 victory over Charnock Richard 3 days ago.
I went to see him straight after the game, had a chat with him then, and been in touch with him every day since. And yeah, he's back home now. Yeah, he's in good spirits, all things considered. It's not a nice injury at all, especially for a young man who was just kind of finding his feet in the first team. So we're gutted to lose him for a period of time, but we'll be around him as much as we can and offer him as much support and reassurance and help as he hopefully gets back to full fitness over the months ahead.
Adam, along with the rest of the team, got that vital win last weekend. How much has that lifted the mood around the club going into tonight's game?
Yeah, I would imagine it has. Winning games certainly does that, and winning a game at home, something that hasn't happened very much at all in 2025, will be a massive lift for everybody. Obviously we haven't seen the players since Saturday night. You know, I'm sure everybody will be in good spirits, but they were anyway. Everyone is aware of the situation and why we probably are where we are, and everyone is a little bit better placed now to play the roles they need to play in order to move us forward. So yeah, the win obviously always helps, and we need to now make sure it's not a one-off and the next one follows as quickly as possible.
Turning into tonight's game up against an AFC Liverpool side who've had almost an equally challenging start to the season with yourselves in the lower regions of the table. Although there is a long way in the season to go, how crucial could a game like this be in your season?
It's another game. It's an important opportunity to go and play well and get 3 points. It's, you know, as quite a lot of the Charnock players said to me after the game, don't worry about the table at this stage of the season. It's false. You're a good side. You'll get your points. Just keep going. So our aim is to get better week by week. And it's a great opportunity for us to go and win a game of football tonight. And that's the case no matter who it is that we're playing and where they are in the league. So, you know, there's no season-defining fixtures at this stage of the season, but there's important opportunities to progress and get better, and we should never be leaving those opportunities on the pitch, and that's how we have to approach tonight.
That's Paul Jones. That match kicking off at the Bury Street Garage Stadium at 7:45. Now, a scheme helping young people balance studies with sporting ambition is being extended after a successful first year. Since October 2024, all Island Secondary Schools and UCM have taken part in Sport England's Talented Athletes Scholarship Scheme. Education Minister Daphne Kane and Chief Officer Graeme Kinraid gave an update.
The Isle of Man really punches above its weight in so many spheres. Absolutely. Of sport as well as culture, but it's really good to see.
That's a selection scheme, isn't it? These people, sports people, are awarded entry into TAS rather than you being able to just enter yourself.
It's students who are on a pathway to a possible professional. So they will be known either across the schools, or they may already be involved through the NSC and the services down there. They may be on some of the talent acquisition services down there. So these are students that we will already know. The key here is to ensure that as these students try to develop their sporting prowess, we need to keep an eye and make sure that the education is running alongside that and to keep a balance.
But the celebration was that all six IMPs, so the five secretaries and UTM, are now that blanket accreditation to the TAS programme. And that's a real positive, I think, for everybody.
And just before I pass it back to the chair, you mentioned again in your introduction that the Island Games are coming back home in 2029. That will come very quickly. So what preparations are being made now ahead of 2029, and what we're lucky, we've got great facilities, but what improvements will be made to facilities before 2029?
Significant, but as we've putting together the bids, and I don't know that they've been approved yet, I don't want to preempt anything, but significant investment in our flagship National Sports Centre to meet the demands, not only for the Island Games but for the generations beyond that. But I'm hopeful that we'll be able to make an announcement on exactly what investment is going to go ahead as soon as we can.
That's the Education Minister, Daphne Kane. 25 past five, let's join Rob now for the sports news.
Fast am I. First off tonight, Peel AFC has confirmed it is postponing its fixtures this weekend following the death of Kian Broadhead. The 25-year-old, who was a member of Peel's combination team, died following a road traffic collision on Sunday, the 14th of September. The Isle of Man Football Association has confirmed it has accepted a request from the Western Club to rearrange the latest two men's team fixtures due to take place on Saturday, the 20th of September. As a result, Peel first team's away game against Union Mills in the Canada Life Men's Premier League and Peel Combinations fixture at home to Union Mills in Canada Life Combination 1 will be rescheduled for a later date. Meanwhile, other football clubs across the Isle of Man have been paying tributes following Mr. Broadhead's death. Among those tributes, Union Mills Football Club says everyone at the club is thinking of Mr. Broadhead's family, friends and everyone connected with Peel AFC at this time, adding it is such a tragic loss to the community. Elsewhere, Corinthians AFC says it is deeply saddened to hear of Mr. Broadhead's passing and describes him as a cracking footballer and a wonderful young man. Elsewhere, Isle of Man professional tennis player Billy Harris has taken victory in the first qualifying round of this year's Chengdu Open in China. The former Albany and Castletown player has beaten Chinese wildcard Fumin Zhang in straight sets 6-3, 6-2 in the men's singles qualifying tournament today. As a result, Harris will now face Japanese competitor Taro Daniel in the second qualifying phase. For Harris, currently ranked 131st in the ATP World Rankings, it's been a positive month so far. He claimed the first ATP Challenger title of his professional career by winning the Cassis Open Provence in France earlier this month before reaching the semi-finals of the Guangzhou International Tennis Open last week. And in cycling, it's been a positive campaign for Isle of Man pro rider Becky Story on this year's Tour Féminin L'Ardèche in France. The Team Picnic PostNL competitor has finished the series inside the GC Top 40, finishing the event 36th in the individual classifications. Elsewhere, last weekend, Isle of Man prospect Ruby Oaks was in action for the Das Hutchinson team and finished 71st in the Grand Prix Stuttgart and Region in Germany.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Well, that is all from Update tonight. Thank you so much for your company. As ever, you can find out about all our top stories at manxradio.com. Coming up next, it's Island Life, and tonight it features extracts from the I Love Man podcast, which, as the name suggests, is where people discuss what it is that they love about the island. Then it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinney from 6 at 9, The Folk Show with John Barker, and then Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.